Welcome back to Open House with Mark Sewick and Corey James Moran, brought to you by the Mark Sewick team at Keller Williams Realty, a Greater Rochester real estate podcast. This is episode 75. Mark, how are we doing this week?
How could I not be great? I mean, it's mid-March.
Yep.
The snows have melted away as a result of the
45-degree
temperature and the rain that's coming down. I mean, yeah, tulips will be blooming any moment now, I'm sure.
It's been very confusing weather-wise.
You think?
Has this been? I mean, typically it is kind of a weird roller coaster ride, but I mean, it's been bizarre.
It's very bizarre. But I go through this thing. I think I may have mentioned to you in the past. I go through this thing where I start to do a countdown.
Okay.
From about now, from the middle of November until how many days until March 15th? Because psychologically, emotionally, like I have to count down how many days it's going to be until spring arrives.
We really ramp things up.
Yeah. But the reality is, I mean, here we are at the beginning of December, and winter hasn't yet started. We've only got 3.5 months. We got the holidays in between.
That's true,
I'm going to be away for 2 weeks between now and then.
I've got a couple of vacations too lined up.
Yeah. So
are we going to get off easy this year? I don't want to.
No, we are. Are the Bills going to the Super Bowl? Let's ask a similar question.
Sure. Remains to be seen. How was Thanksgiving?
It was awesome. It was great. It was the third of my three Thanksgivings, and sat quietly with Tom and Jen, our two dearest friends, and just loved it. What about you?
Interesting. We went to my parents' house in Endicott, New York.
Yes.
In the Binghamton area.
Yeah.
10 people in a relatively smaller three-bedroom house. So tight quarters with our two little ones. We expected to stay there until, early afternoon Saturday. Ended up leaving after dinner on Friday because it was too much.
So you lasted, 24 hours?
No, we got there Wednesday night. So we
36.
Gotta, yeah, come on, give that to us. It's just with the little ones.
It was less than 48 hours, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
It was okay.
But it was still great. Got a great meal in, and got some quality time with my folks, which is always good. And my sister was there with her boyfriend and my nephews, who now all talk like this.
Oh wow!
It's makes me feel so old.
Yeah, well, you are.
I know.
Yeah, sorry.
I know. Yeah. But it was very nice, and then we got to go home and try to recover for a couple of days.
I hope you did.
All right, well, let's jump into our update. The slowdown that we've been anticipating is finally actually here.
Oh, come on. We've been saying this for a couple of weeks, but go ahead.
All right.
Hit me with it.
Last week, at the time of our recording, there was 455 active single-family homes available in the Rochester, or the Monroe County, down to 418.
Wow, that's yeah.
Significant jump,
yep.
Or drop. Nothing. And then the six-county region, 807 down to 780. And it's been pretty slow.
It's been very slow, yeah. Yeah, those numbers don't surprise me. But yeah, there's nothing going on. I mean, there's really, we just continue to prepare. And I think most agents spend this time of year basting turkeys and, you know, hanging mistletoe. And preparing for the year to come. And then there's a fourth category, which is just catching their breath. Knowing that, you know, 2 months from now.
Reflecting too. I'm working on a little video that I'm going to put out of just all of the sales of all that I had all year long. Just the pictures of the homes. We're doing something similar with the team.
Great.
And it was really just a walk down memory lane when you see, remember that house reminds you of your client and what they were going through and everything that it took to get there. And it is kind of it was an interesting way to kind of debrief on what happened, because it does get so insane. And it's hard in the moment sometimes to think reflectively.
This is an important time of year for that. Absolutely. I just love it. Just love it. So Duffy has started. I think you know, others may not. Duffy has started. He purchased Needle and Thread this morning. He will literally spend the next week and a half stringing popcorn and cranberry for the edible tree that he erects every year.
So, incredible.
It really is. God love him.
Make sure you follow our social medias, because that will be posted for sure.
Yeah, it's just a spectacular tree. Anyway.
All right.
Want to talk about interest rates?
Yeah, another thing that's dropping.
Yeah.
Yeah, so last week it was at 6.875%, dropping down to 6.625%. So that's good. Mortgage applications to purchase a home actually gained 4%, so they did go up.
Well, and I bet you anything. When do you know when that article came out, or that 6.6? Because I saw something just a short while ago.
Oh, it was last today, but maybe it wasn't the latest updated. Lower? 6.4?
6.5.
Really? Okay.
6.5%. So let's review, because this is really important information.
Yeah.
What was it? 3 weeks ago or thereabouts, interest rates were at like 7.25%.
Yeah.
So, you know, regardless of the metric, we can say that interest rates have dropped a minimum of 0.5 percentage point in the past 2-3 weeks.
Sure.
You know, by some metrics, you know, from high to low, some could say a full 0.75 point. I mean, significant. That's really...
Absolutely.
I'm going with 0.75 point.
Okay. And
yeah, that's just great.
It was interesting, too. So mortgage applications to purchase a home gained 4%, so actually went up.
Okay.
Although, based on last year, 41% lower.
Okay, well, there is that.
Not shocking. But again, we're keeping a very close eye on what is happening with mortgage rates, with the economy, and there's a number of things that are coming up here that we're going to want to pay very close attention to. The ADP released the numbers this morning as far as new jobs created.
Yes.
Which was 127,000.
Yes.
Down from 239,000 in October. That's a pretty big jump. And yeah. That's far below. The prediction was 200.
Yeah, 190, 200,000, yeah, somewhere in there, yeah.
Now, I know it might sound counterintuitive to celebrate that, you know, less new jobs have been created, but in terms of taming inflation, this is an important data point to follow.
Huge, and it will be followed up 2 days from now. The federal government will reveal their figures and their numbers. And it's always interesting to see, you know, how the two compare one to another. But more likely than not, we're going to find that indeed Jerome Powell's interest rate hikes are now starting to impact the job market. And this is one of the metrics that we're looking at to see whether or not we're starting to cure and curb inflation. And it looks as though it's starting to have an impact, which is great.
And it hadn't yet, which was interesting.
We've seen some signs in terms of the CPI, the consumer price index, starting to, you know, slow down just a little bit. Unemployment numbers really haven't been coming down. That's been the anomaly. Yeah. So, and then 2 hours from now, or an hour and a half from now, as we're recording this, it's Wednesday. Wednesday the 30th. We're recording about 11:45. About an hour and 45 minutes from now, Jerome Powell will be speaking. All ears, economists' ears, and others, market watchers, are going to be listening to hear what it is that he has to say about the upcoming FOMC, the Federal Open Market Committee, which determines interest rates and whether or not they're going to remain the same, or whether or not they're going to go up or down. They meet on the 13th and the 14th of December.
And again, the expectation right now, and it may change after he speaks today, but the expectation is at least 0.5%.
Right. And more or less, everybody's assuming that he's going to affirm that interest rates are going to go up 0.5%. So, which is great, because we've had four consecutive announcements, I should say, from the FOMC, in which interest rates were increased 0.75% at each go. So the fact that he's going to increase more likely than not 0.5%, or the FOMC is going to increase 0.5%.
Progress.
Yeah, that is progress. That really is. But so the good news is that mortgage rates have gone down 0.5 point or 0.75% in the past 3 weeks. The good news is, counterintuitively, as you stated, that jobs created has dropped significantly. Bad news is that, you know, we're still not out of this, and there's going to be another interest rate increase in about 3 weeks, about 2 weeks' time, actually, now that I think about it. So in other words, lock in now, folks, you know.
Yeah.
Go out and buy a house before Christmas.
Sure.
Buy yourself a present.
We're available.
Exactly.
Some other interesting things I wanted to throw out here, back to home sales. So the sales of new homes... Mm-hmm. Unexpectedly jumped 7.5% in October.
That's good.
Now, the existing home sales tumbled for the ninth straight month, so there was that.
Yes.
That's the other side of that coin.
What did I send you? There was something. What did I send you earlier today? There was something that was stated about, oh my God, you know, terrible news. This is the worst.
It's the second biggest house correction since World War II. Is that what you're referring to?
That's it.
That's the
one.
Oh
my God. Yeah. The sky is falling.
Yeah. Everyone lose your minds. Yeah, I know.
And then the corollary to that is that, okay, well, since March of 2020, property values have actually gone up 38%.
Oh, well, so, look at that.
Despite the fact that they've dropped now, I think 2% in the past few months. So, So the bad news is that again, second worst housing correction since World War II. The good news is, we've gone down 2% in the past few months, and we're still 38% ahead of where we were as of March 2020.
It's okay.
Yeah.
I didn't
read the whole article, did you?
I did.
You did? Oh,
I
okay.
Did.
Oh, okay.
This is a good segue, too, because another thing that we wanted to touch on was we love the fortune tellers. We love the looking into their crystal balls of what
right,
will
right.
happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And this was an Inman article. A top economist gave predictions for 2023.
Mm.
So from Windermere Real Estate, chief economist Matthew Gardner.
Windermere Real Estate.
Is the one who came up with this. And the very first thing
uh-huh.
that he talked about, there is no housing bubble. Again, which we have been saying.
Yeah, locally there's no house. I really don't think there's a housing bubble locally. I do think there's a housing bubble quite a number of pockets throughout the country.
Some of the overinflated spots, Austin, Texas,
yes,
Boise, Idaho,
where
we've already seen prices come down, close to 10% for some of those markets?
Right, yeah.
Yeah. Again, still, though, not comparing to the mid-2000s and what happened there.
Right, exactly.
I think that, again, continues to be brought up over and over and over again, and people continue to try to make that parallel, and that simply, as we've debunked it on the podcast here numerous times.
Does this guy have other predictions?
He does. He has 10.
Oh, okay.
Some
are we going to burn through all of them?
We'll gloss over a couple because it's stuff that we've covered. His expectation, though, as far as mortgage rates, is that they will drop. You don't say.
Yep.
Says rates will remain above 6% until the fall of 2023. So we're kind of honing in on some specific timing here. He says that's when they should dip into the high 5 range. While that's higher than we've become used to, it's still, again, you got to look at this from a perspective of it's 2% lower than the historic average.
Yeah, there we go. Historic average being a little above 7%. Yeah.
So we kind of need to
7.5%. Yeah.
We're being a little clingy with the 3% interest rates.
Yeah.
We're being a little clingy. It's kind of like that, you know, that boyfriend or girlfriend that you had that they just were kind of done with you and you were just held a little tighter. It's time, guys. It's not coming back. It's absolutely not coming back. They've gone to college. They're not coming back.
Yes.
Another one of the predictions is don't expect inventory to grow significantly. Again, this is something we've been touching on.
Yep.
So we can
That's obvious.
Gloss over that. We touched on this actually last week, that it would be more of a balanced market.
Mm-hmm.
But, of course, no buyer's market. And if you miss that, you can always get caught up on any of the old podcasts.
Yeah, I do think it'll be more balanced, certainly, meaning there will be more property out there for buyers to choose from. But I still think it's going to be a market, you know, for the next few years that is going to be definitely weighted in favor of sellers. No two ways about it.
Speaking of the sellers, the next prediction is that sellers will have to become a little more realistic. That's managing that expectation is really important.
Okay.
You know, if your neighbor, last year my neighbor sold $80,000 over asking, and why can't we, you know, that kind of stuff obviously is something that we battle with every single day and try to give a realistic expectation of what's going to happen. This one's interesting. Workers returning to work. And in parentheses, he wrote sort of.
Okay, go ahead.
Well, he goes on to say that many businesses are still determining their long-term plans for work from home. So some have already tried to bring everybody back.
Mm-hmm.
Some are working like we are right now in a hybrid type model.
Yep.
And then there are, I know a number of people, including one of my family members, their company has already made the call, remote forever. We're not coming back.
Really?
Mm-hmm. And they work for a pretty, pretty big company.
What industry? What kind of?
Liquor. You could probably guess.
Okay. Really?
Yeah. I don't know. I assume not for the entire company, but for what this person does in that company, they are working from home forever.
Yeah. I mean, there are for our bookkeeper, for instance. You know, I mean, we love her. She's awesome. But we don't need her here.
Sure, yeah.
As opposed to, you know, agents or people who are involved in our marketing efforts. Yvonne, who's our transaction coordinator. You know, that one-on-one, day-to-day sort of engagement is so important. So that's why it is that we've gone from nobody working in the office back in April, May, June of 2020 to coming in twice a week. But we found that was bumpy. It wasn't really...
It was tough, yeah.
It was tough. But so now everybody, I think, realizes, even though I think there was a lot of, you know, disappointment that we were coming three times a week, I think that people are realizing, you know what, it's necessary. It's a good balance between being at home enough so you can take care of the kids or throw in a load of laundry, while at the same time making sure the wheels of commerce are greased properly and moving forward.
Without a doubt. So a lot of potential buyers have been kind of waiting this out, trying to figure out, okay, what's the final move here? I know I've got a couple that have been in waiting mode that if they are going fully remote, they're coming back to Rochester. If they're not, then obviously they kind of want to stick where they are.
Yeah.
The next one is that new construction activity isn't unlikely to increase. Again, another one that we've touched on.
We've touched on this a lot, yeah.
This one's important, and this is something that I think maybe we've beat the drum on more than anything, and that's not all markets are created equally.
Yeah, I'm glad he said that. Yeah, very true.
Affordability will continue to be a major issue.
Sure.
Of course.
And what was the statistic? We last talked about this about a month ago, but affordability was, it was inching up. So that, I think the number was 31%.
Something like that.
And it was inching up toward 40%. So anyway, go ahead.
Yeah, again, first-time home buyers especially, mm-hmm. It's been rough.
Yeah.
And then 10.
Yes.
Government will start to take housing more seriously.
Okay.
That's the prediction.
Okay, that's been one of my... This is really funny. This
right?
is like...
Pretty...
I mean, clearly, this guy from Windermere...
Listen to the podcast.
He's obviously.
Obviously.
Clearly obviously. Listening.
Yep.
This is my bugaboo. I mean, you know, I like this whole issue of needing the government to step in.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it's not going to fix itself
at the
end of the day. No. It says elected officials can assist housing developers by utilizing... tax increment financing tools, where the government reimburses a private developer as incremental taxes are generated from housing development. So,
great.
Just one of the things he threw out there. I mean, there's obviously a lot that can be done.
Yeah.
But we know how quick the government moves. So,
how fast will it be done is a
whole different question. Yeah, that was one of the better, I feel like, prediction articles that I've read recently.
Yeah, I mean, bravo, Windermere Capital, whoever they are, I have no idea, but that's awesome, just great.
I have a little housing drama to share.
I always love drama.
I know you
I mean,
do.
Yeah,
I know.
So long as I'm not involved, I just want to hear about it.
This one involves the Christmas Story House. You've seen the movie, right?
Mm-hmm, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
The owner of a Christmas Story House cursed out an actor. Amid the home sale. So this is actually for sale right now.
Oh, okay.
The Christmas Story House. I don't know who Yano Anaya is. I'm not sure who they played, but they starred in the movie and the sequel and was apparently cursed out earlier this month by the owner of the iconic house, which served as the film's setting, according to TMZ. There's video of this. The 50-year-old actor was on the porch of the house posing with fans when the irate owner, reportedly named Brian Johnson, approached and began ranting and raving, telling the actor to leave. Quote, get the F off my house. Get the F out of here. I'm not kidding. Beat it. Get the F out of here.
Well,
leave
well
now.
Let's just play the video.
get away from my property. Don't ever come here again. Never again. Leave now. I'm serious.
I mean, I got to say, I can understand the homeowner's frustration.
Because this happens, I'm sure, all of the time.
All of the time, yeah. You get these iconic properties. You know, the house that was the setting for The Godfather, for instance.
But you kind of have to expect that, right? I mean, to think that you're just going to go into obscurity and just do your thing a little bit silly.
Yeah, I'm sure it's really, you know, enchanting to realize that you've purchased the property
until
you've spent a week and a half there and you realize that, yeah, you know, you are now suddenly a tourist attraction.
Exactly. And I mean, getting eyes on it, you know, for the sale. So I guess that's a good thing. He also went to call the actor a scammer, by the way.
A scammer.
So I don't know if maybe people pose as actors from the movie and get people to pay them to take pictures and things. I don't know.
Wow. Or maybe these are actors who are out of, you know, out of work. And
yeah,
actually,
for
you
sure.
Know, yeah.
Could be. It's possible.
Wait, give me this guy's name. I want to look this up.
You want to look up the actor?
Yeah.
Yano Anaya. Y-A-N-O, last name, A-N-A-Y.
Oh, there we go.
What do they play?
I have no idea, but there he is.
Okay. Is the video? You found it?
No, I just know. There he is. Do you recognize the guy? No?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, well, never mind.
I'm not sure which one he would have been.
Okay.
Someone from.
There we go.
From the movie. Listen, we do research. We don't do all of the research.
Well, what else you got for us, bud?
Want to get to a little celebrity real estate? Got a couple things here.
Yeah, who are we talking about today?
Are you a fan of Joe Jonas?
I'm a Nick guy. I'm a Nick guy.
I was gonna say.
So,
But Joe Jonas and his wife Sophie Turner of Game of Thrones.
Right. Yeah. They're a big deal.
They just listed their Miami mansion for $17 million. Here's what's kind of crazy about this one.
It comes with what, a dragon lair?
Can you imagine? They only bought it a year ago. So the A-list celebrity couple just listed their Miami waterfront estate for the nearly $17 million purchase price after buying it for $11 million, again, just a year ago. So they reportedly moved in to the over 10,000 square foot home with their two kids before deciding to sell after remodeling it. They did a full remodel. The project was completed in August. And now they're trying to capitalize on, you know, a $6 million windfall there.
Which is pretty
impressive. If they can pull it off, obviously, we'll have to wait and see. It's on a canal in a prestigious guard-gated community on Bay Point.
Okay.
And it includes 6 bedrooms, 8.5 baths, and 94 feet of water frontage.
There we go. Sansa.
Mm-hmm.
Well done, Sansa. Yeah.
Do you want to get to Best Thing in Rochester this week?
Yeah. Okay. You want to start?
Sure.
Yeah.
So it's about to be the best thing in Rochester.
Oh, okay.
And it's become a new tradition over the past few years, I feel like, COVID aside, of course, the Rock Holiday Village.
Are you a big fan of this?
It's cool. I like the fact that they're doing more of this and utilizing more, especially the green space that we have there at Parcel 5.
Parcel 5, yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. Mark, you're going to be going.
Yeah, for the first time. I found my camera. I found in my calendar one day about 3 weeks ago, I was like, oh, I've rented an igloo on Parcel 5,
yeah,
and I'm taking our executive team, the administrative team. People just put shit on my calendar, and then
you're just like, okay, I'll show
then,
up.
And then they use my credit card to, like, buy stuff.
Do you know, do we know who did that? Because there was some dedication there. This is hard to get.
Oh, really?
The demand for these igloos is unbelievable.
And I'm sure the price is also. I have no idea what it is.
Don't look at the statement.
No, whatever it is, I'm actually very excited. It sounds very cool. I'm very excited about this. But you know what? We do need a little bit, because, you know, listen, if it's like 50 degrees and I'm sitting in, like, you know, a plastic igloo, not so cute.
With some rain coming down.
Yeah, right, exactly.
It's not quite the same.
Nah.
But it's very cool. There's ice skating. Nice. There's, I believe, a Santa's workshop. So good stuff for the families. And again, another good reason to go to the city.
Yeah.
Which that's been the battle forever.
Yeah.
But good stuff. What about you?
A little, Doug Emblidge.
Yeah.
Wait,
is something going on with Doug?
Doug is a good friend of Corey's. Doug is a very good friend of mine. Man, after 39 years on air, he said goodbye yesterday.
Man.
And he and Jenny, they remind me very much of Bob Duffy. They have these public persona. Which, when you meet them in person, hold true.
Yep.
Like they.
This is genuine.
They are authentically themselves. Publicly as well as privately. I think that Doug has done he has served this community very, very, very well, and we wish him a lot of luck as he moves on.
Well, I heard he's not quite done.
What did you?
I heard he's still going to be an auctioneer, an MC.
That's not going away. Yeah. So do you want to explain what you mean by all that?
So for a lot of the charity events that happen in our community, which there are numerous and many that are so deserving, of course, I would say that Doug's probably the go-to.
Yeah.
To host these things.
Absolutely.
No one peer pressures you into buying something at an auction quite like Doug Emblidge.
He's masterful.
He's the best.
He is masterful, and he's funny as hell.
Yeah.
He raises a ton of money. So he will be stepping out. He's obviously done on air and is now taking a job with Alesco Advisors. Good luck, Doug. But then he's going to continue to do all the great things philanthropically that he does, that he and Colleen, his wife, do for this community. Just awesome.
I feel similarly. You get kind of in that world because of the job, but once you are doing those events and helping those organizations, you obviously are making the connections, and it's not something that you plan on stopping. I mean, I will still say yes.
Yeah, you just posted one.
Yeah.
What's the
latest? I'm going to be guest bartending next Thursday out at Nosh, which is in Rochester,
okay. And
this is to help raise money for Cure Childhood Cancer.
Oh.
So this is, again, I was asked from one of the, I believe it was the president of the Women's Council of Realtors.
Oh, great. Okay.
So they got me in heels for that event the other month, and now bringing me back out to guest bartend. I will be wearing shoes, for the record. Just FYI. And no kilt this time. Also no kilt. But it should be a lot of fun. Nosh
is next Thursday? All right. So I've got to put that on my calendar.
Perfect. It's not, we'd love to see
that. Or unless, like everybody else, you want to place it on my calendar yourself.
I mean,
feel free to go ahead and do so.
What a fun game that would be. Just put on Mark's calendar and see if he'll just show up. No explanation.
I do. I'm just like, why am I here? So anyway.
Good stuff. Well, hey, as always, you can go to marksewick.com. We have a new blog coming out. I think you're
Yeah. I'll be honest. The new blog. There's not a lot of hard-hitting, as demonstrated so aptly over the course of the past 30 minutes. There's not a lot of hard-hitting real estate.
We covered some ground,
but there really isn't a lot for the blog. So
sure.
It really is just going to be a few quick bullets. You know, usually these things come in, 750 words up to, I don't know, 1,500 words. This will probably be 350 words. Just I don't want to waste anybody's time.
Yeah. Well, there you go.
Yeah. So
that our videos listings. When they come, we'll have them up there as well, again at marksewick.com. Any closing thoughts?
No, just go out there and enjoy this. It's the best season of the year. It really is the best time. It's just
for
awesome.
Sure. Thanks again for listening. It's Open House with Mark Sewick and Corey James Moran.